A live look inside Everbank Field. The Jaguars are underneath, getting ready for Week 10 of the National Football League. They'll play in this stadium next week. One more road game to go in Baltimore coming up this Sunday. And welcome to Inside the Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. Plenty to get to today. Another road game for the Jags. This will end a two-month stretch with only one game at Everbank Field. They'll play in Baltimore on Sunday. Blake Bortles will carry his press conference live coming up. And Jonathan Cyprian, Jaguars safety, will join us on set today a little bit later and answer your social media questions. Johnny, the Jags are close. We've heard this before. Yep. I think we could do every open of the show pretty close to the same. They're close, a couple mistakes here or there, away from getting a win.
Well, and when you're doing what we do, you try to parse out and figure out just where they are. And on the one hand, you can say that every week they've been close. On the other hand, this one the other day felt a little different because it was a good team that I think a lot of people think can get to the playoffs. And they fell down early, hostile environment. It was also a good team that had no reason to overlook the game. They were 4-3. They lost two in a row.
Yeah.
So all those factors that in the NFL usually lead to a team playing well and not giving one away, the Jets had going for them, and still the Jaguars got down early. They came back. They were on the three-yard line before the holding penalty, and you got that feeling in the fourth quarter of, hey, they're going to win this thing. Well, they didn't. So we're back to what we've been talking about. But on that front, if you're a believer that this team's improving, and not everybody is, I get that, but if you believe that, then that game on Sunday confirmed a lot of things. Now you've got eight games to go where – it's time to have some of those things turn into winning things, and that's where the broken record is.
I thought it was interesting after the game, even in the post-game locker room, watching some of the videos on the website, and even on Monday in the locker room here at Everbank Field, the tone of the players after the loss was not dejection, was not anger. They felt just that they were close enough, that they're getting better, that they're right there on the edge of getting some W.
Yeah, and I think there's over – And talking to Roy Miller on Monday, it's always interesting to talk to Roy because he cares so passionately about what's going on. And they all do, but he's been here since the beginning, and he really feels like this is close. He feels like this is a good thing they've got going, and he believes so strongly in it. And at the same time, he's a veteran who knows at some point that has to be about winning, and you have to turn that into that. And we're in this stretch where we're saying that all the time, and we're saying that every week because that's the final task, and that's the hardest task. It's not hard to go from – I mean, it's hard because we saw it, but you can go from here to here.
Mm-hmm.
And now you get to there, and you've got to get over the hump. And as much as you hate to keep saying it, that's where they are. And some of it's pass rush. Some of it's the fact that Blake Bortles and Allen Robinson, these guys are still young, so you're going to have some ups and downs. But you do get a feeling if they could get a couple in a row that then they start saying, okay, we get it. It's going to start happening more. But until it starts happening again, it's sort of a broken record.
And, of course, the division is still up for grabs. Indianapolis leads the way at 4-5. They're 3-0 in the division. But
they're more up for grabs now.
Yeah, without the quarterback now for a while. Lacerated kidney for Andrew Luck for 2 to 6 weeks. You would probably lean towards the 6 weeks he'll be out. Houston 3-5. Of course, Jacksonville and Tennessee 2-6. So, mathematically alive, everybody in the division right now.
Well, and we'll start off by saying you got to win to make any of this happen. So, if you believe they're the team they were in the first half of the season, then don't worry about what I'm about to say. At the same time, if you believe they're ascending, if you believe that this last Sunday was close, not only do you have a schedule where I believe it's the next four teams, all 2-6. Well, so by any definition, that plays out where you should be in the games.
Right.
You're a game and a half back, and you've got, I believe it's four left in the South. What more do you want?
It's set up right in front of this team.
Bunch of them here. So,
yeah.
There's still no reason. Going into last game, if they got on a roll, they could go win the division. And there's still no reason you can't do that, except that they have to know how to win.
It's a strange spot to be in at 2-6, and with still a lot of hope.
It's better than the alternative.
You darn right it is, for sure. Jaguars.com live, presented by EverBank. Blake Bortles coming up around the top of the hour. We'll carry that live. And Jonathan Cyprian, Jaguars safety, will join us here on set. A lot of the hope for this team, John, relies on that offense. Blake Bortles, the Allen brothers on offense, T.J. Yeldon, the ability to have some explosive plays. And, in fact, the Jags' offense has been really good in that department this year. Blake Bortles has the second most completions of 20-plus yards in the league this year behind Drew Brees. A lot of those to Allen Hurns, a lot of those to Allen Robinson. They have 1 and 2 yards per catch in the league. That means they're pushing the ball down the field with a chance to score some points.
Stats.
But that's a good sign for this offense.
It's absolutely. And I think it can all be sort of parsed down to one number or four numbers, as it were.
Okay. Well, I just threw out 10.
10 and 17 last year was Bortles' touchdowns, interceptions.
Yeah.
17-10 this year through 8 games. That's a reversal. Yeah.
Last I checked, yes, it is.
Wasn't good in algebra, but that's a reversal. You know, he still has a long way to go. There's still late game stuff that he's got to work out. There's still, you know, the play the other day where there was the fumble. But if you can't see improvement from this guy from the time we were sitting here last year to the time right now, then you're not seeing it. Now, that doesn't mean he's there yet. It doesn't mean he's an elite quarterback. Mm-hmm. But under some pressure this year, I mean, they're still on pace to give up 50 sacks. So it's not like he's had clean pocket all year. That's another issue.
Yeah, sure.
But he has done what you wanted him to do, and he's held up. I don't know if he's perfect mechanically. We haven't asked him about that in a while. But it doesn't feel like there's regression. It doesn't feel like things are going haywire. It's hard for me to look at Blake Bortles and not think this guy is going to at least be okay. And I think there's a much higher ceiling than that. But you can build things around him. You can start having success offensively with him. And that's what you wanted to see this year. So Allen are great, or as you say, the Allen brothers. I think T.J. Yeldon looks like he's moving up. Mm-hmm. There are things to like, none more than the quarterback.
No doubt. It starts with that quarterback, number 5, for sure. We'll hear from him coming up here on Jaguars.com Live. Let's switch over to the other side of the ball. Jags defense made a point to stop the run last week. Chris Ivory held to...
They should make points more often.
They're going to perform like that. 26 yards on 23 carries. Really just stuffed the run on a pretty good running team in New York. That's where this team wants to be on defense. Mm-hmm. They want to stop the run. They take a lot of pride in that up front, especially in the front seven.
Well, it's as good a performance as you may ever see from a defense against the run. And I'm not saying that Chris Ivory is on a level of Todd Gurley or
AP or
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, sure.
But think about this. The Jets never got into a situation in that game where they felt like they had to abandon the run. So they always felt like, we're going to run. This is going to be part of what we do. Mm-hmm. Usually when a team does that, at some point they pop one. It's usually, when you look at stats and you see 11 yards rushing or 25, it's usually because a team couldn't run early and then the game got away from them. The Jets thought they could run the whole game, and they were wrong the whole game. So a lot of credit to the Jaguars' defense. That's what Gus Bradley and Bob Babich believe this defense is. When they talk about being a run-first defense, they mean getting into passing situations. Mm-hmm. I think as a result of that run defense the other day, I don't want to say the pass rush was great because it wasn't, but it was a little better, and you got into a little more of a situation where you could pin the ears back and go after it. So that's what I've said all along. If this defense is going to be competitive, it must stop the run because it's not going to be a great pass rushing team. So you've got to stop something and turn the offense into one-dimensional.
Yeah. Stop the run. It'd be nice to get a little pass rush, too. We'll talk about that coming up. Jonathan Cyprian a little later. Blake Bortles right now.
It's like a simple play.
Last year the Ravens had 8 sacks in that game with you guys. How far have you come offensively in terms of your pass protection?
Yeah. First of all, opening statement, I forgot. Like to see you ready?
Yeah. Wait, is it going to be about Veterans Day?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you.
Well, thank
come
you
on, get this on there. Get it ready.
I can't.
It's unbelievable. No, thanks to all the veterans out there that have served and are serving now. Unbelievable country, greatest country in the world. So thanks to all those guys. Okay, proceed.
8 sacks last year. How much have you come?
Yeah, I think it's gotten a lot better. Obviously, bringing some guys in the offseason, Jeremy Wiz, and doing some different things there. Obviously, Ole coming in with a big emphasis on protection. You know, I know last week, giving up six, wasn't, what we wanted. You know, had some breakdowns there, but I think it's definitely gotten better throughout the year, as the numbers say. And, you know, I think it's, heading in the right direction for sure.
For you personally, are you knowing when to pick your battle?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's being smart with it, understanding it, and Ole does a good job of explaining that to us. Knowing when to try and pick it up, when to change the route, when to just let somebody come free and get rid of the ball and throw hot and do different things there. So, I mean, kind of really always having an answer, for when guys are bringing pressure.
You said there'd be a challenge when Julius first got hurt as far as building that chemistry up. Has that been sort of what you thought? Are you happy with where
yeah.
you are?
Yeah, you get a player like that, you want to give him the ball as much as possible because he's obviously a playmaker. So we'll continue to build that trust and chemistry, continue to get him involved in the game plan and in the offense and production. Hasn't been as involved, I'm sure as we wanted him to. So we'll continue to build that. And, a big part of it is us, still getting on the same page.
When you looked at it, did you see it looked like there was maybe a couple of scoring opportunities to Julius? Pretty close, Did you take anything?
Yeah, I mean, it's still just, figuring things out. I mean, he does a really good job of communicating, what he wants, what he's seeing, and, where is the ideal spot, kind of ball location-wise. And those are things that I'll continue to work on and continue to rep with him, during practice, after practice, all that stuff.
You guys have obviously gotten a ton of explosive plays, but on third down, are you getting, it seems like there's not really that security blanket yet that's been established. Is that sort of the next... one of the next things that you guys are hoping to get, fortified?
Right. Yeah, I mean, definitely continuing, talk about situational football and being better, for sure in the red zone, turnovers, and then third down is up there too, third down efficiency and being better there and converting more and staying on the field longer. So, I mean, I think it's just kind of a thing of execution, attention to detail and stuff like that.
Ravens obviously have a talented defense, but they have given up a lot through the air. Do you see things that you feel like comfortable that you guys can take advantage of on Sunday?
Yeah, I think so. I think Ole's done a good job and the rest of the coaches putting together a good plan. So we'll go through it this week and, see, what's good, what we think is going to work, what we like, narrow it down a little bit. But I'm excited for it. I think it's a good opportunity.
Crossed midfield a couple times, didn't get touchdowns last week. Is that almost like a turnover?
Yeah, it's hard. You look at it one way, you turn it over, it's never good. You want to kick at the end of each possession, whether it's a field goal, extra point, or a punt. You don't want to turn the ball over and give them a short field, which we did a couple times. So I think it's not necessarily a bad thing when you don't get points when you cross the 50, but you want to at least be able to punt it and flip the field. Just really can't turn the ball over. And, like I said, red zone efficiency is something we got to improve on.
Burns has been nicked up all year. Nicked up again this week. Do you expect him to play, though? And how tough? Is he tougher than he looks?
Yeah. I mean, he's as tough as they come, for sure. No doubt about that. Mentally and physically. He's one of the tougher guys I've ever been around. So, I expect him to do what's right for him and his body. And if he can go, there's no doubt that he'll go play.
How huge has it been for your development having three really reliable wide receiver targets?
It's been good. I think those guys, to go along with them and watch Hearns and A-Rob grow, coming in a year and a half ago or 2 years ago and growing with those guys and growing as a unit, I think it's been really special. They've been unbelievable. Both really good football players, obviously, by the numbers they've putting up. And the rest of that room's done a good job, too. Obviously, get Marquise back this week. Excited about that. So I think it'll be fun.
You kind of live for the final 2 minutes of the half. And again, that 2 minutes go. It seems like you really love Miller, obviously.
Yeah. I think, we practice it all the time. I know personally for me, it was something we did a lot of in college, so I feel comfortable doing it. And I think our guys do too. We just got done practicing it and walked through. I think it gives us a chance to kind of go on the fly, get up to the line, not let them get set and do a whole lot of, kind of complicated things. Play a little pretty simple, and allow us to just go play fast and, call plays that we've been running for 6 months, So I think we do a good job at it. I do think it's one of our strong suits.
Pretty rare to have two touchdown drives and a 2 minute drill type of thing with two or three plays.
Yeah.
And you don't see that a lot. Why did that work so well? I mean, the matchup you got?
Yeah. I think it was Hearns doing a really good job on the first one right before halftime. And then obviously the one later in the game, just a couple more big plays. And I think, those were, three or four of our big explosive plays came in, those whatever six plays it was in those two drives. So I think it's definitely something to build on, something that we're confident in. And we know when we get in that situation, from any point on the field with any time on the clock, we have a chance to score.
When you watch the film, are you seeing Julius getting more attention from the defense? Is he opening up things, even though maybe he's getting covered?
Yeah, he does some interesting things. Defenses play him interesting ways, whether it's they leave nickel on the field and put a safety or a nickel on him, like they did last week. So he does cause the defense to do, you know, whether it's something they don't do often or it's treating him like a receiver. You know, he does get some different coverages and stuff thrown at him. But, I mean, I think he's done a really good job of you know, working on his craft and running his routes and trying to get open. You know, we just got to find a way to get him the ball.
You guys obviously didn't hit the one into the end zone. But what's your confidence level on that when he's out wide against the
– Yeah, I mean, you know, they ran a safety out there on him. And anytime, you know, that's the matchup, it's, you know, I'll throw that to him every time.
Does this offense feel comfortable that if it has to be one-dimensional with just the pass, that you guys can get downfield in a hurry the way you have been?
Yeah, you know, I think we have the ability to do that. Obviously, you know, we never want to get away from the run. It's part of who we are and what we want to do and our identity as an offense, you know, as attacking the run. But I think, you know, we do have the players. You know, the offensive line up front has been playing well and picking up stuff, and I think guys get downfield in a hurry and get open.
I heard John NFL Network talk about not knowing about the 13 losses on the road. Did you really not know that?
Yeah.
And what's the big, is it a big deal? On the road, what's it take to?
Yeah.
To
well, I mean, I think London's kind of an away game. So I don't know. I mean, I didn't know it. I guess if you would have said, hey, when was the last time you won a road game? I could have probably thought about it and said I haven't since I've been here. But I don't think it's in anybody's head. I don't think it, you know, I would be surprised if a lot of guys in the locker room even knew that. But
if you're frustrated after a game by being close, by Wednesday, are you encouraged that you're close? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Frustrating to lose that way, but
right.
At what point do you start to see it as we're almost there?
Yeah, you know, I think it's difficult. I mean, if you're getting blown out every week, it's kind of, you got a lot to work on. You got a lot to improve. And I think when you're as close as we are, you know, I think it's a small step away and it's a play here or there a game. So I think it's just kind of developing that consistency and being able to do it week in and week out. But it is frustrating. But I mean, we give ourselves, you know, to the end of Monday and you got to be over it and be ready to start game planning on Tuesday.
When Marquise was out there at the beginning of the season, it seemed like you had a good feel for him. Why is that?
You
haven't worked with him that much.
Yeah. You know, he's a guy that you enjoy throwing to as a quarterback because he's so fast and he's able to create separation pretty easily because he can start and stop really well. So, you know, I'm excited to get back working with him. I think, you know, obviously in the time he played early in the season, he did a really good job. You know, I'm excited to kind of pick that up where it left off.
Thanks.
There's the Wednesday comments of Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles, and we continue now with Jaguars safety Jonathan Cyprian. Good to see you, man. How are you?
I'm good. Good to see you, too.
Yeah, good. Nice walkthrough today for you guys. It's always fun to start the week with that. It sets the tone for what's ahead, right?
Yeah, way to start it off. You come here, we go over a little bit of the first and second down game plan, walk through it, and we're about to go execute it in practice today.
The game plan last week, we'll touch briefly on last week, was to stop that run game. You guys certainly did that against Chris Ivory and the Jets, 26 yards for him on 23 carries. And you had a big hand in that, too, coming up from the safety spot and really stopping that run, filling the gaps here on defense. You guys, on defensive side of the ball, really pride yourselves on that. You want to stop the run first. That's what you guys want to do, right?
Yeah, you definitely want to stop the run. You know, the run is a very effective way for offense to get their offense rolling. And for them to be able to run the ball, it opens up the pass a lot. So for us to take that away, you know, we can make a team one-dimensional.
13 tackles, couple for a loss, a pass defense last week. Do you feel like was this your best game of the year, personally, for you?
Well, you know, I guess starting from this season, yeah, I'll say it's the best game so far. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm coming along a little bit more, and this game gave me an opportunity to make some plays.
Yeah, so you're coming along. In what ways has this season been different for you? Year three for you now. You've been around the organization a few years. You seem more comfortable, at least in the meeting rooms and such, right? Does that help the general feel for you in year three here?
Yeah, it does. You know, year three, I feel like sometimes I get mistaken for a coach sometimes now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but, you know, we have a better understanding of the defense. And going out there and being able to do things second nature is a lot better.
How do you guys look at the big picture? Do you guys look at the standings? Do you look at the situation ahead? Gus said last week that he touched on the situation at hand for this team. How far into it did he go, I guess, last week?
Well, you know, the situation is at hand. You know, there's a whole bunch of whispers about it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we were aware of it. So I think it's something it's an elephant in the room. So something that Gus feels like he might as well address. And he did. He touched on it just as, you know, we would, just him knowing that we would be hearing it throughout the week. So he addressed it. He told us what the situation was, and we are all aware of it. So as professionals, we continue to move on, and we know what we have to do.
Did he touch on it again this morning?
This morning he did it. Not this morning.
Jonathan Cimprian is with us here on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. I know you're a social media guy, right? What's your handle?
My handle is on Twitter is J_Cyprian. And on Instagram is JCYP_B4.
Why would they be different?
Well, you know what? I got a close knit of friends back home, and all our Instagram names has B4 at the end of it. So for those guys, you know, I switched it up and I added a B4.
You got to stay with your guys. That makes sense. Yeah,
no, yeah, doubt. Man, loyalty.
Let's go social media questions now. Questions from fans. We'll start with Cameron Franklin today. Oh, this is inside the locker room. Who wins in a rap battle, Avery Jones or Roy Miller?
Cameron, I'll have to say Avery Jones.
Why is that? Why Avery?
You know, I think Roy would. Roy would start to pause too much. You know, kind of, you know, you have a pause and probably the next punchline will be dramatic. Well, I think his pause would just go on way too long and just skip the whole dramatic part.
Well, you can't, I'm not obviously not a rapper, but you can't pause during raps, right?
Oh, no, you
could
now.
It's going to be free flowing,
right? You could now. You could say something, pause, you know, build the anticipation, and then hit him something again. You know, I'm not a rapper, but, you know, I listen to a little bit sometimes.
Okay. Now, I did see video of some other defensive backs that are rappers, right? I mean, did you see that video too?
Yeah. Around the league, you mean, right?
No, here in Jacksonville, there was like Colvin and those guys put out the rap.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right? My man Leroy Reynolds, he dropped the biggest thing. You know what I mean? His thing was hot. His track was all over iTunes.
Okay, well, yeah, there you go. You heard it here first. Let's move on to St. John TD 1020. What advice can you give kids playing Pop Warner ball who dream of playing where you do one day? You started down there too, you know. What advice do you give those kids?
Advice for a Pop Warner kid, you know, the first thing I would say is, you know, listen to your coaches and listen to your parents. Your coaches are going to tell you and teach you the fundamentals of the game, because those things that you learn in Pop Warner, you'll be using for the rest of your career playing football. Mm-hmm. And, you know, listen to your parents, because those are the guys paying for you to play football. And also, you know, they're always going to steer you in the right direction. And those two things, you can't lose.
It comes down to the bottom line always. Dylan K. Kelly asking, who's your favorite safety of all time? I think I know the answer.
Well, favorite safety of all time, I definitely have to say Sean Taylor.
Yeah, you said that when you came into the league too, right after the draft, that you used to watch video of him before every game, right? You don't do that anymore, do you?
Yeah, you know, sometimes I definitely, you know, put it on and just try to, you know, get a little bit of inspiration.
Because he was a guy that, why him? Yeah, why'd you like him?
You know, he was best of both worlds, you know. There's a lot of safeties, especially in the league, where they're classified as this type of safety. They're only good at this, they're only good mm-hmm. at that. But, you know, he was great versus the pass. You know, he can be in the middle of the field. And also, he would do hard hits, you know what I mean? He'll knock people out from the middle of the field, being down. You know, he was just a complete safety.
A few more questions for you. We'll get you out of here. Let's go to Aloise asking, what are some contributions you've done for the community outside of Everbank Field? Charitable, marketing, or an event? P.S., you the man, they say. you do a lot of stuff out in the community too, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I try my best. I started my foundation. It's called the Ari Foundation, SIP Squad Ari Foundation. ARI stands for At-Risk Youth. You know, Jacksonville will definitely be hearing a lot from me soon as far as doing things outside of my organization. But some things I can just say off the top of my head is I work real closely with Dreams Come True. Being able to touch some kids' lives in a very special way is great, you know. And through my times being here, I've done things with the Red Cross and during different holidays. Actually, this year, I'm doing a toy drive with the Boys and Girls Club.
Nice.
And myself and Alan Hearns has teamed up, and we're collecting toys at Boys and Girls Club. And this Christmas, we'll be passing them out.
It's pretty cool. The at-risk youth thing, why is that close to you? Why do you like that?
Well, you know, I think of something, you know, to give back. And when I think of something to give back, I want to look back in my life so it could be kind of personal, you know, so it could really hold me to it, something that I want to do. So, you know, the mission statement behind my whole foundation is kind of to give kids a choice. You know, there's always a choice where kids could do wrong or right. Mm-hmm. But I believe there's choices for some kids where there's only a choice to do wrong for them. They feel like, I have to do wrong so I can make this right. Well, you know, I want to make my foundation a way for those type of kids to have a different way to solve their solutions and be successful as they grow up.
We'll look forward to seeing that coming to fruition very soon with you. We'll finish with this, Jonathan. One more road game here in this long stretch coming up this week in Baltimore. And then you're home. Four out of the next five. Whatever Gus says or doesn't say about the situation, the division is very much there for the grabs. What's going to get this team right, and what's the mindset of this team now heading into the second half here?
You know, the mindset of this team, what's going to get us right, you know, is actually to continue to do what we've been doing. Personally, as a team, I think we all see it. Being in the games is a different feel. I believe there's no team in the league right now, how we're playing, that we can't go down to the wire with. What we just need to work on is to finish in those fourth quarters. You know, the league is about making plays, and it's definitely going to come up to who can make the most plays at the end of the game. And I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, as a defense, and I'm sure as an offense, we're definitely focusing on that.
We'll look forward to another big game from you this week. We appreciate your time, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Go Jags.
Jonathan Cyprian joining us on Jaguars.com Live. Bold Rush Thursday coming up next week here at Everbank Field. Thursday night football, November 19th, the Jags host Mike Mularkey and the Tennessee Titans. Use your game ticket for entry to the tailgate with a live concert, craft beer fest, and the NFL Network pregame show. For tickets, visit jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. Our thanks to Jonathan Cyprian for joining us here on set. Jaguars safety coming off a big game, 13 tackles last week against the New York Jets, couple of tackles for loss, and really starting to come on strong in his third year and trying to continue things as he moves forward here. The Jaguars defense played well last week against the Jets, certainly against the run. They'll need it again this week against the Baltimore Ravens. You heard from Blake Bortles today, as you always do on Wednesday, and of course, Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. That's it for now on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.